March 22nd, 2016, opposed to March 24th, 2016.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed. Got that, Nancy? I would like to invite Reverend Thomas Williams up to the podium to give our invocation and our pledge of allegiance.
Well, first of all, thank you for letting me come back. Must have done something right last night. I'm going to say a prayer first, and then after I say that, I'd say amen if you would, we'll stand up after that, we'll do the pledge of allegiance to the flag. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Dear Lord, you're a great loving God. First, let me say thank you for everything you do. On behalf of all of us gathered here today, just let us be here. Thank you for your many and abundant blessings that you give us tonight. Thank you for life itself. Thank you for health. And thank you for the things that you give us. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight to conduct the business of the town of Curie Beach. And I say the great town of Curie Beach. In scriptures, you said that citizens ought to obey the law of the governing authority, since you have established these very authorities to promote peace, order, and justice. Therefore, I pray for our mayor, for our city council members, and I pray for those out in the audience tonight that you would give them all the things they need tonight to assist the council in doing their business tonight. Lord, I particularly ask you to give the council wisdom to govern wisely, a sense of welfare and true needs that about the concerns of town and of the people. I ask you to give them confidence in the work that they do and the ability to do that work. And not only to do it with the other council members, but also do it in harmony with the citizens here tonight. And also ask, Lord, for peace in the world. There's some trouble in the world right now. We need everything we can get to make it a better place.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for the agenda that's set here before everyone tonight. And I thank you for allowing us to come here tonight and do the things that will keep the town of Curie Beach the great and beautiful place that I know from living here for so long. And I just thank you for everything that you do. And I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Do the pledge of allegiance.
Of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Reverend Thomas, if you would wait right there for a second. Reverend Williams. Two first names.
Thomas.
Who's Thomas?
Okay.
I've been called worse. Remember, I was a policeman down here for 18 and a half years. I've been called a lot worse.
Some more of
them.
Yeah, you weren't that bad.
You're the one looking after Andy.
Oh, yeah. Somebody had to do it. He was the first attorney I met when I was coming to town back in 1971. He helped me a lot.
Good. And he's still doing it.
He's still doing it.
On behalf of everything that you do for Curie Beach, and especially for our town here, we would like to give you this certificate of appreciation, which says it is presented to Reverend Thomas Williams for dependable service to the town of Curie Beach in conducting the invocation at council meetings March 24, 2016, and I hope this means you'll come back many, many times.
I love the good Lord. Send me over here. Don't let me. I'll be back. Thank you very much. I want one with a camera. Everywhere I go.
Thank you.
It's a good thing I brought the camera tonight.
Indeed. One.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Now then, on our consent agenda items, are there any changes? Okay, I have a change for item 8. I would like to move that under new business number 2. I'm adding it to new business number 2 so we can discuss travel and possible other donations to that organization at the same time.
So is that the only change?
That's all.
Make a motion that we approve the consent agenda with the exception of number 8, which goes to new business number 2.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now, on approval of our minutes, do I hear a motion to approve?
That's actually all the consent agenda.
Oh, it is. Oh, sorry, I've got all my notes up here. For adoption of our regular agenda, I would first like to add under old business, Duke Energy Lighting, and this is because Sonny Beaker, our Public Works Director, has already brought this before us once. This is just an extension of his comments. Under the mayor's updates, I would like to add, and I would change number 5. I want number 5, Colonel Hart from Matsu. Number 6, Andy Kanutis, our town attorney. Number 7 will be upcoming events. Do I have any other changes?
Yes, under new business, I'd like to discuss ROT. The democracy tax. Mm-hmm. I guess that would be new business number 5. You don't have to add that on commissioner's item, but at the commissioner's items, I'll update the rest of council on the meeting we had with Beach Walk regarding their stormwater project they're working on. Okay.
Any other additions, comments, questions? Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Harris, you're here tonight to address the council. Would you like to come forward, please?
I'm over here.
Right with you, so everybody can hear you.
My name is Don Harris, resident of Curry Beach. And I sent a letter to the mayor several months ago requesting a special permit to run an ATV from the beach access ramps to the water for fishing purposes. I'm not advocating having ATVs run up and down the beach. I would not want that myself. But I am a disabled veteran. One of my passions in life is fishing, and I am no longer able to do that independently. And I stress the word independent. All the beaches along the coast are striving to make things more accessible for the handicapped people, disabled people. And this is a great step in the right direction. However, none of it addresses one of the most important and functional things for healing and moving on for people that are handicapped, and that is independence. I know myself now, being disabled now for the past 3 years, that independence for me and many others is priority. I have to run a support group for amputees, and I'm also a certified peer visitor for handicapped and amputee people. So I hear a lot of problems, not only from the individuals themselves, but from family members addressing independence. It is one of the major problems that people in a disabled environment face, is their independence. you know, it takes away a person's reason for living. When you're not independent, you have a tendency to give up. The request I made about the ATVs, I know is a big step. Okay, it's a very big step. And I would not advocate having ATVs randomly coming onto the beach. What I'm asking for is special permits granted to individuals who would happen to have an ATV that still wish to fish. I'm not asking to go up and down a beach. I don't think anybody in this room would want to see ATVs going up and down a beach. I know I have. However, I would like the opportunity to go from a handicap ramp, by the way, you have between Carolina Beach and Kirby Beach, 23 ramps, okay? A person like me, that's wonderful. I can go up the ramp and I hit the beach. What can I do after that? I can't walk in the sand with this leg. The sand will ruin the ankle. I'm stuck. I can stand there at the end of the ramp and I can look at the ocean and wow, that's great. I want to be able to get to that water and fish. I'm not asking for a whole lot. As far as enforcing this, I believe if you issued a permit, you have police and lifeguards on the beach all the time. So if somebody was on the beach with an ATV that did not have a permit, I don't believe it would be a problem in that respect. I think it could be very enforceable. I have acquired a permit from the South End, Fort Fisher. The Fort Fisher Rangers have granted me a special use permit. And that's wonderful. It will allow me to go fishing. However, I don't live at Fort Fisher. I live at Kirby Beach. And it would be great if my grandchildren are here for the summer to be able to go out on the beach that I live at and fish. And not only me. I'm not here just for me. I have neighbors that have seen my AT that I'm putting together for fishing and said, wow, that's great because I can't fish myself. I have a neighbor right across the street who is disabled. He's a disabled veteran like myself. He would love to fish, and he can't, because he can't get to the water. So I don't believe that for myself or other disabled people that we're asking a whole lot. There are several beaches along the North Carolina coast that already allow this. Fort Fisher being our closest. There are further north that are allowing ATVs. I don't believe they have the population that we have, and that may be the reason. So I'm taking that into consideration. And I have also thought about, in granting this, I would be willing to have time restrictions. You know, I have been fishing at the beach since I lived here, you know, moved here in 1997. And I never fished during peak hours of vacationers. And I understand that. I'm not, like I say, I'm not asking to take anybody else's freedom or enjoyment away. I don't want to infringe on anybody else's enjoyment. However, I want to have my own enjoyment. And I believe that there are other veterans and other disabled people that would also like to have this. And I don't believe you're going to have an overrun of disabled people riding around on four-wheelers. But if they happen to have access to that, I think they should be allowed to do it. So I'm not just asking for myself. I'm asking for all the disabled people in North Carolina, technically. I think it's not asking too much. I don't think that it requires a whole lot of policing. And I don't think it would require any expense on the town other than issuing a permit, which is just paperwork, and maybe a sticker. You know, a handicap sticker to put on your vehicle. With that said, I will thank you for your time and hope you will consider my request. I'm not only doing that here, I'm also going to Carolina Beach, and if I'm successful at any one of them, I'm going to continue this up and down the coast because I really feel that it's something disabled people really should have if they want it. I, you know, the beach chairs and the beach walks and ramps, these are all things in the right direction. None of them afford independence. And when I speak of independence again, I'm saying if I want to go fishing, I don't have to ask my wife or anybody else to help carry my gear, which would be a chair, fishing rods, cores, everything else you need to go fishing. I want to be able to do it myself. I'm very independent, and I want to remain that way. And I want to do the things that I have a passion for. And I thank you very much for your time.
And I thank you not only for coming tonight, but for sending the email, which I passed on to the lady who is our representative on the ADA committee for the county. Is that McFarland, Nancy?
Deb McKinnon.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have McFarland stuck in my mind.
McCall, I believe.
She was supposed to get in touch with you and talk to you about that. Okay. And she took it to the ADA committee for the county to talk to them about it also to see, you know, if there's an issue like with Wrightsville Beach. If, I don't know if you've been over there yet.
From what I understand from Ms. McCollum is that New Hanover County has not a problem with it, and they sent it back to the town council. Mm-hmm. And I was under the impression that that was going to be a discussion on the council with it, mm-hmm. and I asked to be here.
Yes.
Because, again, I would like my views and views of other handicapped persons.
Okay, well, I'm sorry that last month when she gave her presentation that she did not let you know that she was presenting that before the council at that time. And I'm very, very glad that Fort Fisher is supporting you on this. Fort Fisher is in Curie Beach. It's not separate municipality.
It's controlled by the Ranger System, Ranger Service, and not by the Curie Beach Police Department. Am I not correct in that?
That's correct.
Okay, so therefore, I'm looking at two different legal entities. I'm looking at the town council and the Curie Beach Police Department granting me a special use permit, granting a special use permit for handicapped persons, other than the state. And the state has been doing this for quite a while. There are several people in the Fort Fisher area that use an ATV to fish at the beach. And they live at Fort Fisher. They live in that area. And this is what I'm saying. I have a permit for Fort Fisher. That's a done deal. I don't live at Fort Fisher. Okay. And as far as a question was put to me by Ms. McCarthy about availability of getting to the beach. Okay. I have a trailer. I would not be driving a four-wheeler on the street, which is illegal. I'm not looking to do anything that's outside the law. You know, you have, and again, I don't want to take up all your time, but you have right now, you have a ATV that runs from Carolina Beach all the way down to Fort Fisher and back twice a day, if not more. Mm-hmm. Okay? And when I brought that in question to somebody I was talking to on the phone, and I'm sorry I don't have the name, they said to me, well, they're doing that illegally. Now, you know, if you're allowing a business from Carolina Beach to go up and down the beach with an ATV every day during the summer, several times a day, whether they're doing it illegally or legally, I should have that same right. Not because I'm an individual or that I'm handicapped, but I am a Curie Beach resident. I also own property at Carolina Beach. This is why I'm saying I'm going to Carolina Beach too, because I own property there. I own a condo there. So I feel I should have a right to do that also. And again, I'm not just speaking for myself. myself. I'm speaking for other people. As I said, I'm a support group leader. And I have about 26 people in my support group. And we're all up in age. And a lot of them would love to fish. And they say, well, I can't fish. I can't walk on the beach. You know, I'm not saying they would all get an HGV. They probably won't. That's an expensive deal. However, I think that if a person has that ability, they should be granted the permit.
Okay. First, I'd like to address John and Jim Dugan and David because they're associated with the fire department, and I think John knows a lot about what goes on the beach. Do we actually have a business that drives an ATV on our beach?
Pleasure Island Rentals has made that request to us numerous times, and we've denied it every single time. They deliver beach chairs and umbrellas on Carolina Beach and the North End on a daily basis, but they don't drive into Curie Beach now.
I take a different view on that.
Okay.
Because I have seen them deliver chairs and umbrellas at Curie Beach.
They are,
otherwise, I would not have mentioned it.
They are, in fact, breaking the law then, and they know not to do that. I haven't heard that they've done that. Usually the lifeguards are keeping an eye on that. The only other ATV that comes up and down the beach are the turtle, Pleasure Island Sea Turtle Association. They come up and down every single morning looking for new nests. Other than that.
And that's a requirement for our beach renourishment.
Right.
And the lifeguards in public works drives one to pick up trash.
Other than town employees and Pleasure Island Sea Turtle Association, no one else has permission to run ATVs up and down our beach, unless it's in relation to beach nourishment purposes.
And again, let me intervene here. I'm not asking to go up and down the beach. I'm asking to go from a ramp, and you can specify maybe two or three ramps that have parking.
Well, there's only two. There's only three ramps that you could take an ATV on in the town. N Avenue, K Avenue, and Davis Beach Road. That's the only three accesses for an ATV because you can't take them over the regular beach accesses.
No, it would have to be a handicap.
Right. And then I was going to ask the question.
You can take them on a handicap
for
a motorized vehicle.
No. So those would be the three ramps. My question is, you know, is there a certain distance that you feel if the council addressed this, that would be like 100 yards on either side of that beach access so the police and lifeguards could police it?
I wouldn't even say 100 yards.
Well, I mean, if there's five of you, all of you fishing, I believe that's
okay.
A reasonable thing, right? So
that,
we do. So you're just asking for the council to consider, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, again, I live here. I don't want ATVs running up down the beach.
I understand.
Okay? And it's bad enough that we have the lifeguards running up and down the beach sometimes like maniacs.
Right.
It's needed. I'm not arguing that point. I totally accept that. What I'm saying is the 50 or 100 yards from the access to the water is what I'm asking for. If you will give me 50 yards on each side and a 100 yard span, you know, I would be happy with that. If somebody else is fishing, I can move.
Yes, sir.
You know, I would be totally against anybody privately running up and down the beach with ATVs. That's not what I'm asking. I live here, John.
Mr. Harris, I brought this to our department head meeting and talked to the police chief about it, and the police chief and the fire chief both said that they would not support this. That right now we've just had beach renourishment. I hope we have a nice, wider beach out there that could disappear with one nor'easter, but won't be back again for another 3 years. They're very concerned about the width of the beach and being able to get emergency vehicles up and down the beach. And that's why we're very limited about what should be out there, but they are concerned about other people than wanting to have ATVs on the beach. And so both of them said they would not approve.
Would not approve ATVs or handicap ATVs?
ATVs.
ATVs. I'm asking for a different.
Or handicap. I mean, we talked about, they said not for handicap purposes or any other purposes.
So, okay, so you're denying me the right to go onto the beach with an ATV?
I don't think we've come to that conclusion yet, Mr. Davis.
Donald Harris.
I'm sorry, Mr. Harris, excuse me. But I think I heard you talk about potentially limiting the time, limiting the area. There would, I think there would be a concern about limiting the number of available permits as well, if we got to that point.
Right.
Because from the perspective of having a lot of ATVs out on the beach, like you said, you don't really want to see that, but there would have to be some level of control if we decide to do this to limit how much that beach can actually support.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Right now you have, I believe, you have wheelchairs.
Yes, we do.
Okay, beach wheelchairs, okay. And you have what, two of them?
Five
of them, okay. So you allow five push wheelchairs onto the beach. You control that by having five, so you have to reserve that, correct?
Yes.
So if someone brought their own, they could go on the beach.
I would have to put my name in and say I want it such and such a day at such and such a time. These are all things that you're throwing at me about limited and ATVs and the number. What I'm saying, there is a solution to allow handicapped people access to that water. And, you know, you talk about beach nourishment, Carolina Beach, Surf City, Sunset Beach, they're all putting mats all the way out to the water. And that's great, it helps handicapped people. It also disrupts regular people from walking up the beach. What's going to stop these people from tripping over them when they're walking in the evening and it's, you know, very little light? These are all things that you're considering for disabled people, but you're not looking at the independence and the fact that a lot of people want to do more than just look at the water. They want to actually participate. I'm not asking for a blanket permission slip. I'm not. I'm asking for consideration to where you come up. I mean, you're the council. You come up with what you find that would help people in my position to have access. You know, I can't come to you and say, well, here's all the rules that I think you should impose. You come to me with things that you feel would give me access to the water. And that's all I'm asking. If you put limits on it, that's fine. I mean, I expect you to. Like I said, I don't want ATVs running up and down the beach. If you limit me to go right out to the water, that's fine. If you limit me in time and from, say, 6 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock in the morning, and maybe 4 o'clock in the evening, on. These are the fishing times that most people enjoy fishing anyway. I'm not asking you to go out there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when you've got, you know, hundreds of kids in the water. I think that's ridiculous. I don't want to fish when I have the children in the water. I'm asking for independence to where I can throw a line out in the water and drown some worms. That's all. And I think if you want to impose restrictions as far as time and even the number that you allow, I think that's reasonable. You know, I'm not saying that you should give out unlimited number of permits. If you want to control the number of permits that you have out, that's fine. Even control the days they can do it. Maybe, you know, since we're more crowded on a weekend, limit no weekends. I just think that there should be consideration for handicapped and disabled persons, not just myself. And since I'm the advocate for them at this point, you know, I don't feel that I'm asking a whole lot. And for the police and the fire department to be against it without even considering what they're against, you know, I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair to any disabled person. You know, the ADA, I've spoken with them, and they really don't have a whole lot of say because, you know, it's the town. I wish the ADA would be more behind me. But I understand. And again, I'm just asking for consideration. You make the rules, you're the town council. Consider what I'm requesting.
Okay.
Now, so, and if you want to put limits on it, that's fine, but at least consider the fact that I want my independence. I'm a resident here, and I should be able to fish at Curry Beach, just like everybody else would. If you want to get up in the morning and you go fishing, you do it. That is your right. It is also my right.
So
and everybody else has to see it.
So kind of as a path forward, Mr. Harris?
Pardon me?
I'd like to propose a path forward so we don't keep talking.
That would be fine. I do not expect to be up here this long anymore.
That's all right. Is there a commissioner that's willing to work with the police and fire department to consider a special use permit? If not, I will, but...
Could
you go back with the police and fire department and look, are there a limited special use permit that they would support that the council could review to consider at the next meeting?
Yeah, because the short discussion that I had with both police and fire chief when this first came up, I wasn't in the staff meeting, so I don't know what happened there. But they were thinking at that time anyway in terms of just allowing ATVs on the beach to fish, not specifically handicap, and they figured that the beach would be overrun.
Right.
I agree with that.
It'd be a special use permit that could have limitations both in the area. I mean, we really only have 3 beach accesses that Public Works would say you should drive an ATV over. Right, so it's in Avenue, and really they're the ones that ATVs go over now. So in Avenue, K Avenue by the guard shack, and Davis Beach Road. And so if you consider those limited areas, I think with time limits as well, I think the police and fire department and Mr. Dugan will come up with something.
I'll be happy to talk to the department heads and get back with council and with you.
So does that work as a consensus, Madam Mayor and Commissioner?
I could support that.
Yeah.
I would also ask John Batson, you know, all of the regulations that have come up in the last couple of years about turtles and their habitat areas and what you can do on there and what you can, a lot of it directing the Corps of Engineers, but also with the beach communities, I believe like Fish and Wildlife, I believe it was their regulations. Would you mind contacting someone and ask if in their new regulations if they have addressed anything about ATVs? Because at one time, I believe, you know, in the preliminary regulations, they were not going to allow them. Would you mind check on that for us?
Okay.
Thank you.
Since it's a nesting area.
The good thing to follow would be the state park at the south end. They do have limitations on turtle nests, the dunes, and these are things that, you know, that's not a problem. That should be. You don't want people interfering with a turtle nest or the dunes or any bird sanctuary or anything like that. I'm willing to work around all that with you. I'm not asking for anything that is going to endanger the environment or endanger the citizens of Curry Beach and its visitors.
Okay.
Yeah, so
bring that back to us next month. Thank you.
That's good.
Anyway, I thank you for your time, everyone. I appreciate it. My first visit here, and I think I might be back.
Good. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Yes, sir.
Discussion and consideration of committee business, Board of Adjustment, Community Center, Marketing Committee.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Debbie Elliott, and as y'all know, you recently appointed me to the Marketing Advisory Committee. I've been to 2 meetings so far. I'm here this evening because Robin from the aquarium, who's the chair of the committee, is out of town, so she asked me to come in her absence. And CBB and the agencies, they every year get together at this time to do strategic plan. And, you know, so every year they're looking at, you know, what they've been doing in the past and what they should be doing.
Too much.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
And what they should be doing moving forward. So this year they came up with a suggestion to consider a cooperative marketing program. And that's what I'm going to go over with you here. This is just a PowerPoint to give you a brief overview. I do want to emphasize before we get into it that as they got into this further, it was determined that this would be an approach for the 2017-18 year, not this year, okay? All right. So market analysis, what's driving our tourism efforts? So where have we been? As you all know, we moved away from the Cape Fear coast to Wilmington and Beaches. We've narrowed the geographic focus of the marketing efforts. Data has shown that 45 to 60% or more visitors come from North Carolina, and so they really narrowed the target to North Carolina. Eliminated paid media niche marketing, like specifically going after the fishermen or weddings and so forth. We just didn't have enough money to make an impact. We've also focused on the shoulder seasons to support that effort, and we've defined and optimized the brand of Curry Beach. So visitor preferences, how do visitors make travel decisions? Well, we have found that visitors who come to the beach, they really don't want to just hang out at the beach. They want to come to the beach, but then they want to go visit the restaurants and shops and festivals and museums. So when they're making their decisions, they're looking for what other activities exist. So 68% said that among those who stayed overnight in beach areas, the majority have already or are planning to visit the Wilmington City area, which is a good thing. And even more positively, 74% of those who stayed overnight in Wilmington City area, 3 out of 4 have already visited or plan to visit a beach. So people, when they're coming here, they're looking at the whole entire, you know, community, not just Curry Beach, not just the city of Wilmington. And you'll see this in this is like user-generated content, like social media posts, and you'll see that when people are posting images of their beach vacation, they're referring to it as Wilmington. Like, you know, it says Curry Beach and then hashtag Wilmington in the second one. And then in the third one, why see the world when you've got the beach, hashtag Wilmington, North Carolina, okay? Now, how is the competition marketing themselves? This is certainly very important. We look at that every year as well. And what the competition is doing is they are having a much bigger impact in terms of their paid media, meaning, you know, their print ads and so forth. You'll see that this is for the Outer Banks, so they've got a double spread. That really has a lot of impact. It's not competing with any other ads. Another example here is the Crystal Coast, a full-page ad. The one that you're seeing on the left and one on the right, again, another full-page ad. Then, you know, here we have another full-page ad. I think this one's for Brunswick Islands. Yes. And then, you know, they're mentioning several of their properties. So that's an example of a cooperative ad that's being done locally. So the competitors, what they're doing really well is that they're doing a very consistent branding of destinations. That they have a very broad awareness-driving campaign, and they're having a really high impact with their paid media. Now, what we're doing, in contrast, is the Wilmington and Beaches print ad is the one in the lower left corner that says Beaches plus evening shading, I believe it says. You can see we're competing with, you know, two other ads, and it just isn't going to have the same impact. It's also a smaller ad that doesn't have enough space to really tout all three of the other beaches and the city itself. Okay, so when you look at the budgets and the money that we spend, how do we compare to other competitive destinations on the coast? So, you know, this is looking at occupancy tax collection, okay? Not what we're spending on our marketing, but what we're collecting in ROT. There's New Hanover compared to Crystal Coast, compared to Brunswick And of course, the Outer Banks is really, really exceeding our budget quite a bit. So when you look at visitor spending, this is data from 2014. The 2015 numbers, I think they said, don't come in until August. So you look at end of year county ranking for visitor spending. Dare County is number 4, New Hanover is number 8, Brunswick's number 9, and Carteret County is number 13. But what's really important is which of the counties are increasing by the largest amount, because that's showing us trends. Well, Carteret County has the largest percent of increase statewide of what their visitors are spending. Okay? Dare County, number 5, New Hanover all the way back in 14, Brunswick in 23, and what we thought was particularly interesting is Pender, at number 12. Pender County, you know, which is Topsail Beach, as you know, they're starting to really increase. So that figure there is something that really has given everybody pause. So now this is looking at our actual marketing spend. And you look at currently how things are being done. As you know, it's divided between Wrightsville, Carolina Curry, and then Wilmington and Beaches. And so when you break it apart like that, you can see that each of the 4, and particularly Curry, has got a very little bit of money, which means that we have a real challenge to make the appropriate type of impact, especially when you compare it to Brunswick, Crystal Coast, and Outer Banks.
Do you have a breakdown here? I mean, you've broken us down into the individual beaches, and obviously Wilmington is certainly spending a lot. What about Brunswick and the Crystal Coast and the Outer Banks? What are those individual towns? You know, like all of the beaches over there, and
sure.
Salter Path and Indian Isle, and
I think that's
all
a great
those.
Question, and I can't say this with 100% confidence, but I'm pretty sure that the reason they put them up there is they market themselves cooperatively.
And not individually at all.
Right.
And Topsail, is there a cooperative, you know, conglomeration in Pender County, or does Topsail do their individual marketing?
That I don't know.
Okay.
One thing that I'd be curious about, Debbie, is I wonder how they distribute the ROTC funds, and given that each county has different legislative rules, right, as to how you can use your money. I'm just curious if you have any details on that, or that's something we can always ask Kim for, I guess.
Yeah, I don't. I apologize. I'm still kind
well,
of getting
I know that's
speed
okay.
On that.
I mean, you've had 2 meetings, but there is. How do they disperse their ROT?
Yes, and I know they certainly differ from county.
Right.
County.
And then what legislative rules do they have? Because we can only use ours in a specific way to a specific amount.
Okay.
So, should we go this way? I'm just curious if that wouldn't need some legislative attention.
Yeah, can we even do this without legislative approval? Hadn't thought of
that. Thank you, Debbie. Go ahead.
Thank you.
You mean your question being, are we even legally allowed to do this cooperative marketing?
I think there's a certain value to the marketing we can spend, which you're aware of.
Sure.
You know, we can spend 3% whatever
right.
the ROTC is, but that is really predicated on the way it's brought into the county. If you bring it in, I mean, if it all goes into one bucket like the others, I'm curious as to, I mean, if we get 1/4 of it, I'd probably raise my hand right now. But
well, no, I'm not saying that I think that Brunswick, that the ROT comes in into one bucket and therefore it's spent
right.
from one bucket. I'm saying that I think strategically they've made the decision
to market
cooperatively.
Okay.
Because
the council started to approve the expenditures.
Right.
Okay. Let it cooperatively work. I think. I don't know, but I think that's what would have to happen.
Yeah, because, and you know, I'd like to say for the same reasons that I'm about to outline here as to why we think it's a smart way to go, and it's going to give us, we think, a much bigger return on our investment.
Okay. Thank you.
So, we're not proposing this, okay, but if you took all the marketing dollars that you get from ROT and compared them to the other competitive markets, you would see where Wilmington and Beaches ranks against Brunswick, against Crystal Coast, against Outbanks.
Okay, that's everything that
right.
all three of the beaches are spending
on marketing, like overall,
not just
paid advertising.
You're not proposing
that
we all merge.
No.
I wanted
we're
to be clear on
that. At all. This is just more like an FYI, kind of give you a sense of where we are in the market. Okay. So the market analysis summary is that visitors are looking for a beach vacation with a wide variety of available activities. Competitors are marketing as a single destination with many beaches to choose from. That's really important. And because of that, our share of voice is fragmented when you compare it to the competition. Okay. So the marketing strategy recommendation is to build a shared advertising partnership among Wilmington, Carolina Beach, Curry Beach, and Roycel Beach to build a Wilmington and Beaches cooperative awareness campaign with a percentage of each destination's media budget dedicated to this initiative. And when I say media budget, I mean the paid advertising portion of that. Okay?
Does this, am I hearing you right, that what's being talked about is taking a portion of the Curry Beach and putting it into the general pot and still keeping a portion for site-specific?
Yes, what we're proposing is that we take, right, a portion of the media budget and give it towards the cooperative campaign. And then we would have, and I'm going to get to the numbers in a second, we would also have a certain amount of funds that we would still be using to market Curry Beach specifically, but in a much more targeted fashion. So this, that will make sense in just a second. But the answer is yes. Okay, so marketing is all about a funnel. Always when I talk to clients, everything that we do with marketing and advertising is we're basically trying to attract people into the funnel. They fall into the funnel, and then they fall down to Curry Beach, and we capture them, okay? So that's just, you know, so at the top of the funnel, we're just really trying to create awareness. And then as you get further down into the funnel, they're really starting to give us a lot of consideration. Then they're starting to convert. Then they love us and become loyal, and then they become advocates, okay? So that's really kind of just a real simple explanation of the marketing funnel. So when we are talking about people just starting to think about where they're going to go on vacation, we call that the dreaming phase. And that's what this cooperative marketing campaign is really intended to do, is to get more people into the funnel by getting more people to dream about this wonderful vacation at Wilmington and its beaches. Okay? And then in the planning phase, we're going to be using our media dollars to be very specific about how we get them to start, go from dreaming to planning, to actually make their plans in Curry Beach, start booking and planning their activities. Okay.
Is there any idea, Debbie, on how much? Or maybe that's the punchline. Are we talking 5%?
33% towards the cooperative campaign, and I'm going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
That boils down to $20,000 towards cooperative and $40,000 towards very specific Curry Beach media. Okay? The biggest point of differentiation, this is the thing we've got going for us, guys. We're the only beach area that has a very attractive city right together, okay? And so why aren't we marketing that more? Our point of differentiation is that Wilmington and Beaches area is the only destination along the North Carolina coast with access to a city and great beach options. So to summarize, the cooperative awareness campaign, it aligns better with visitor-centric travel planning habits. So what we've got to be really careful and think about here is how are visitors thinking about us? How are visitors planning? it doesn't really matter how those of us in this room think about Curry Beach. What really matters is how the visitors that we want to attract to spend money here think about us. And they think about us as Wilmington and these beautiful beaches. The other point, we have a stronger point of differentiation amongst the competition, so we need to emphasize it more. And we're going to have a greater reach and impact to strengthen share of voice and opportunity to increase visitation with this type of approach. Okay, so how's it going to work and what's it going to cost? How the marketing campaigns work together, the whole funnel concept. First, we get them thinking about North Carolina, if they're outside of North Carolina. Then we start getting them to dream about Wilmington and the beaches. Then we start getting them to plan about Curry. And then they start to make their purchases with the individual business partners. This just looks at kind of that dreaming, planning. I'm not going to get into too much detail, but this is really kind of a wheel of how people plan their vacations. The campaign objectives are to strengthen Wilmington and Beaches area as a top of mind against the competition through expanded paid campaign reach and frequency. So for the dreaming media channels, when we're getting them to start thinking about Wilmington and Beaches, we're going to be looking at spending money in video, print ads, radio, billboards, or not, digital media and native media. And some of the things we're thinking about are doing all the advertising would be full page. No more half pages, no more third pages. New video opportunities, including pre-roll and TV, full season billboard placement, and new market expansion. Now, the Curry Beach campaign objectives in the planning phase, we want to have people consider staying at Curry Beach within the Wilmington and Beaches area, of course. Create a more focused and efficient planning campaign. And the planning and the media channels we'd be looking at there are really more online. It wouldn't be print advertising. It'd be, we've already got their attention with the advertising. Now we want to get them where they're really starting to plan, which is online. So we'd be looking at paid search, online display ads, native content, social lead generation, and email. This is, I'm not going to belabor this, it's a little confusing, but this is the current media plan, okay, for Wilmington and Beaches. $355,000 budget. It starts January, February, March, calendar year. And this shows you when these particular types of buys are being made, okay? Like the online display is in certain sections of the year. You'll see that the emphasis is on those shoulder months, you know, during the spring and summer. And then there are little pops here and there, like for instance, in the targeted email. Does anybody have any questions about that?
$355K, is that the total advertising budget for?
Wilmington and Beaches.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is the current plan.
Okay.
Okay, just as a sort of, you know, as a comparison.
I asked something at the meeting the other day, and I have received some different information since then. So I would really appreciate it if you could go back and maybe especially talk to Kim and ask her, when Wilmington and Beaches was first established, I'm not sure how many years ago that was. It's I think been since I've been on the council. And what's her name the other day said that that $355,000 Wilmington pays for already, that it did not come out of any percentage or portion that was originally part of Curry Beach, Wrightsville Beach, or Carolina Beach, that was money Wilmington had already put in there, and that's why we're not asking for any money from Wilmington.
Right, because 100% of their funds are already going to promote Wilmington.
Okay, but I'm not sure that when Wilmington and Beaches was first established, where did that money come from to begin with? All of the percentages from the time it comes out of a motel and gets to our marketing budget, where did that revenue for Wilmington and Beaches come from originally, the very first year they did it? Would you mind asking Kim that?
Are you asking, is the Wilmington and Beaches getting a different percentage of the RFT? Is that what you're asking? Or are you just wanting
basically,
to
know? Basically, yeah. Or is it part of Wilmington's budget?
It's
is it a separate? Is it a separate,
they have a separate
thing
budget
in ROT?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, where did that revenue come from originally? Did it all come? Did they slash it out of Wilmington and create that, and not charge us anything, or did it come out of a percentage that all four of the municipalities were a part of?
Oh, I'm quite confident that 355K is not coming from Curry, Carolina.
Not coming out of ours now, but originally.
I don't think it could have because that would not be legal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, the law is very clear. No, they're not kind of skimming off of us to come up with that 355.
Okay.
I do have a specific. I know we're hitting with questions, so this is an important one. I would have a specific question, and it would be, today we spend, I guess, 60K, and we're achieving about 11% growth, or whatever. 13% growth. Yeah, no,
and
it's
she's
in
only talking about print media. She's
I know,
not our
I know. But the point that I would make is, to do this, I can see that Curie Beach would be actually prominently exposed in more places than our $60,000 can, because it's going to be Wilmington and Beaches. Every time it says Beaches, if Curry's on there, I would wonder what they believe the multiplier is for the investment.
Well, I think that I would hazard a guess that it would be pretty impossible to estimate what that multiplier effect would be in front of it. We could make up a number, but it wouldn't be based on any type of real data.
I would, and I actually wouldn't want the number to come from our marketing team. I would expect Kim to ask that of the people who are saying this is a great idea, which was that marketing group that was here.
They won't be able to tell you that either. What I can tell you is that as part of this whole thing, they're going to be doing a brand awareness study that's going to really dive into those sorts of questions, and it will give us a benchmark, okay? And then let's say that we do this for 1 or 2 years, and then we're going to continue to study it. Then we need a benchmark, and then we need some time in order to be able to assess how this is working. But what I can tell you is that when you look at those figures about percentage of increase of visitor spend in other counties that are kicking our butt, that's only going to increase as they continue to do this type of cooperative marketing that works better. I mean, I've been in marketing and PR and advertising for 30 years. This approach to me is just a smart approach. It's about taking limited dollars that we have and making them work harder, which is what we all want. So I think some of those questions might be answered as we go forward a little bit. But the whole intent is to take that $355,000 budget and bump it up to $500,000. And the way in which they're proposing that we do that is to take 33% of the media plan budget from each of the three beaches, Wrightsville, Carolina, Curry. Wilmington and Beaches is already 100% in. And by doing that, it would increase it to 500,000. Now, that 33% of the media plan budget is only 13% of the total marketing budget for Curry Beach. Okay?
So, just one question about what you said. So, you said that this is the most efficient way. The only reason I would sort of disagree with you is if you look over the last 3 years at percent growth, Curie Beach has by far exceeded Wilmington and Carolina and Wrightsville Beach.
But I certainly wouldn't attribute it to what they've been doing with the media buy.
Then what would you attribute it to?
I would attribute
it. And actually, what does it matter then?
I'm not saying it's not somewhat attributed to it, but y'all have been spending so little money.
Right.
Advertising effective is all about reach and frequency. How many people are you reaching?
No, I understand.
which is very attractive, as we all know, word of mouth is always going to exceed.
Well, that's why I'd advocate less of this money going to anywhere in media and going to SAND. But
you can't
because
do
I can't,
that,
I know, I know I can't do that right now.
It's
but
not legal.
I know I can't do that without the legislator. But what I would say is that I don't. One, I'm okay with 13%, whichever way the marketing committee recommends, I think. But I would say that I don't see this as a driver for Curie Beach any way you do it, because what I am concerned about is you're switching to North Carolina, which is going to get more day trippers, which is a problem already in Curie Beach. And now you're telling me that one of y'all's drivers is to target North Carolina over everywhere else. And North Carolina is where all the day trippers come from. No one drives from Ohio for the day.
We're not targeting, this isn't targeting day trippers.
In the beginning, you're switching your target to North Carolina.
What would be very helpful is if y'all might allow me to get through the presentation.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Because I think that some of these questions might be answered.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So how the money breaks down for Curie Beach is that 33% of the media budget equals $20,000, okay? So we'd be contributing $20,000 towards that $500,000 that's going to get more people dreaming about coming to Wilmington and Beaches. Then $40,000 of the Curie Beach budget would be going more towards that planning phase, online, paid search, and so forth. So once they're online, that we're really grabbing their attention, getting them to come in and look at our business partner. So the co-op advertising campaign budget is $500,000, or that's what they're proposing. And like I said, what that's going to do is going to give us a lot more reach and frequency, so more exposure. It's going to have a lot more impact because we're going to be going from small ads to full-page ads. It would enable us to expand our geography into new markets. And it's going to give us a much more consistent market presence to do year-round advertising instead of just focusing on shoulder seasons. And it's going to have more efficiency in the planning, more planning efficiency, less redundancy in ad cannibalism. Because right now we're kind of competing, you know, against each other and ourselves in some manner. Okay, so this is how the proposed plan would shake out, and that would start in fall 2017. And so you would see that during the dreaming phase, you know, the 500,000, you see there's a much more consistent all through the year, except for a couple things of like the paid search, the online display, billboards. You've got, you know, beefier buys and print and paid social, video, and TV. And then the $40,000 that is specific to Curie Beach, that's going to really amp up our efforts in paid search and online display and retargeting. You know that thing where if somebody comes to the Curie Beach website, then you're on Facebook, we're following you around, always putting Curie Beach in front of you, which is very effective. So how the new cooperative advertising campaign look? Of course, they haven't developed creative yet, but this is kind of showing you some other types of beaches that have done this. This is a really great campaign for Virginia Beach. And actually, they've got the ads transposed in Coastal Living this month. This is a two-page spread. And what they've done is it's Virginia Beach, this is the life, and their tagline is three beaches, one vacation. And what they've done, if you see here, does this thing?
It does. A little pointer?
Yeah. So you see they've developed three different brands for their three beaches. One's called Island Life, one's called Resort Life, and one's called Bay Life. And they are three distinct beaches just like we have, and they've given them each a certain type of image. Okay, the Bay Life is more like families. Resort Life is, those are, you know, girls having kind of like a girls' weekend, more of a party type thing. And then you've got Island Life, which is a little bit more of, you know, outdoors and active and so forth. And so this is a campaign, this is just an example. I think it's done very, very well, and it just gives you an idea of how they might be able to achieve
Debbie, I know you don't want us to interrupt you, but
no.
I will say, you know, the other day when we did this, I told you this was my favorite ad, the way it was done to represent that. But I kept sitting there wondering, since I was born and raised there, what is a, now I can't see the names of them, what is an island? I kept wondering, where is Sandbridge? Where is Fort Story? Where is Little Creek? And went back and did some research and found out these are not three beaches like ours. This is the city of Virginia Beach. And these are three different areas in their beach. So this ad is for Virginia Beach. They don't have three different municipalities there that they're using money from. They have one big budget just for them. They don't, cities are not part of counties in Virginia because it's a commonwealth. So they have their entire ROTC budget that they are advertising their entire city. They just happen to have three different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So I want to make that clear. It's not
right.
Like us.
And I'm not, I don't know the particulars, obviously, of how this came together, but the thing to remember, y'all, is how visitors think of us. Visitors think of us probably the same way they think of Virginia Beach. You know, Wilmington has some great beaches. I'm going to go take a beach vacation in Wilmington. And then it's incumbent upon us, once they get to that point, to pull them into Kirk. This is some additional cooperative ag campaigns for Florida. You can see in this particular one, they have divided it into the page into four different sections. Here, you've got basically your primary message and then, you know, specific messages about the different regions. Another one about Florida's Emerald Coast, and you can see that they, you know, pull out these three properties or regions. Another example, again, of Florida, obviously a very strong ad, and then, you know, they're listing the various areas there and then specific property choices. And again, y'all, this is just to give you a very simple idea of what some other folks are doing. It's very early in that process. Now, and then this is, you know, our current advertising campaign, which, you know, it's lovely creative, but, you know, money has prevented them from, you know, buying the type of exposure that we'd really like to have the impact that we want. And they're also too small for us to really do call-outs for, you know, what the three beaches are. So how will we measure this cooperative awareness campaign? That gets to some questions y'all have. Research funded by, and this will be funded completely by Wilmington and Beaches, they would do a brand awareness study first, okay, to see how our brand are relative to our competitors. So then we have some really clear benchmarks. And then they also are proposing using that arrivalist, it's that technology that's that location-based media tracking that shows it's specific to the tourism industry that allows folks to see exactly where you're going. I don't fully understand it, I apologize for that. And then of course the metrics, number of inquiries, website analytics. So summary, 500,000 total destination co-op advertising budget recommendation, 20,000 per each co-op advertising budget, 33% of the media plan budget, and 13% of the total marketing budget. 40,000 of the budget would go towards the planning phase. It would be a new co-op campaign creative, and we have enhanced metrics and research paid for by Wilmington and Beaches. And as far as the feedback that has been received to date, Curry, Carolina, and Wrightsville Beach MAC committees have all said that we're interested in proceeding with consideration of this approach for the fiscal year 17 and 18 plan. And we're interested in moving ahead with agreement of a co-op strategy by June. for the 17-18 year. We really want to, you know, all agree that this is in fact what we're doing in June of this year to allow the creative teams enough time to put together, you know, the brand awareness study and the creative and so forth that would need to be done to be ready to roll out. Any questions?
When would you, I mean, you're not asking for a decision tonight.
No.
When would you be back to ask for a decision from the council?
Well, I'm not exactly sure how this works. I don't know if it needs a vote by council.
Yes, it does.
But I would say in June.
Yes, it does.
The next steps are to share the recommendation with the TDA in March, the end of this month. And then, as a natural progression of the strategic planning process, it's my understanding they go to the TDA at the end of this month with this proposal, and then in June they would come back with some more defined budgets and recommendations. Again, kind of following the natural progression of the strategic planning process.
Thanks.
Any questions? No, that was a lot. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate
Thank you.
Your time.
Thank you for your time, Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie.
Do you want to get this here?
You can see that there. You can see it. And don't forget your flash drive.
The one that fell apart.
Did you keep a copy, Nancy? Nancy, did you keep a copy? Okay.
And I emailed that to you earlier today.
That's perfect.
It's the exact same thing.
Thank you.
Comments?
No. None at this point. I think it requires some more thought.
Okay. Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Oh, may I go back a second? Because I've been sitting here looking at George for the last few minutes, and I know we've heard from the businesses on the marketing committee, but would you...
You don't want me to say nothing right now.
Okay, would you talk to me later?
Yeah, we'll talk.
Thank you. Because I would like, as a business person here, I would like to have your input, and any other visitors who might also be business owners. Planning and zoning, Alan.
Keep it short.
Good luck. It's going to be one of those
Not on this one.
Yeah, this guy's going to be
one of those
That's true.
You're good, Alan. Good answer.
You're good, Alan, but you're not that good.
Paulie, did we there was a couple of typos, so we changed the 6 square foot, which Andy already changed that. And then where the political signs may not be erected within 50 feet, we added the not. And then we also recommend that, Andy recommended that you adopt the, basically the state statute that sets a time limit when you put them out, not to take them down.
Okay.
The old ordinance set a time limit to take them down, but it never said you can put them on any time, so they can be up any year.
Right.
You're asking for questions?
Sure.
Okay. Your mayor is going to jump right in here. Okay. First of all, do you have the copy that adds the 45 days before or 30 days before? I don't. Okay.
There was a highlighted one.
Here we go. I got one. That adds the 30 days before the beginning of early stop voting. Okay? Is that correct? Okay. And I am very glad because I understand the planning board recommended that. I saw from your minutes. And so I'm glad the other day that was added in there. I had a question of the of our attorney, Andy, the other day about it said that the signs had to be removed after a general or runoff election and didn't say anything about primary. That has not now been changed to primary, and what I can only assume is the general election or election day, but does not include runoff elections. So one of them, all three are in there. Neither one of them have all three of them in there. Okay. Let me go a little bit further down. Says
political. Can you explain that last one? I didn't understand it.
Well, it says political signs shall be removed within 10 days after the general or runoff
after
election.
After the primary election.
It doesn't have primary in there. The new one says primary. The 10th day after the primary election or election day does not have the runoff election in there. I don't know why it was changed to election day instead of general election as opposed to... but there's no runoff election.
She's looking there on the one three, that you initially...
There are three things. There are two of them over here and two of them over here, but the three elections are not in either one of them.
So can we focus on the one, and the one is the one handed out, this one. That's
this
the proposal.
One. Okay, so what that needs to say is the 10th day after the primary, general, or runoff election. Runoff election needs to be in there,
yeah.
Election day. It should say primary election, general election, or runoff election. Okay? Now then, political signs are portable. Okay, portable signs are not allowed. I have yet to find what it says in the ordinance, except that our city attorney says that he understood portable signs mean something carried around on wheels, like behind your car. I asked our building inspector and he, or the P&Z staff. He said he considers it a great big sign on the back of a pickup truck. Okay, in the dictionary here, portable means easily movable, convenient for carrying. Every single political sign, with one exception, that I have seen in this town is easily carried, could be carried by a child. You are not allowing portable signs, which means, I guess they gotta be permanent. I don't think that sentence should be in there. It's never been in there. It doesn't have anything at all to do with the original discussion back in October. Doesn't even have anything to do with the discussion last month. So I would like, personally, would like to see that sentence come out of there. Okay, political
so,
signs, what?
Okay, I just wanted to,
okay.
I'm trying to keep track
of okay. Political, third, political signs will not be allowed within the right-of-way of the town limits or any publicly owned property. Well, first of all, that still goes against state law. But if you don't allow, yeah, because they control 421 out there, Fort Fisher Boulevard, which means that's DOT property, it's not the town property. But you can have it, okay? We're not allowing it on DOT's property, the town's property, anybody who is a public agency. You're not allowing that within the town limits. The only thing left is private property. Okay? So we can only have political signs on private property, which makes the 30-day kind of irrelevant because people can have them there all year round. Freedom of speech. Okay. In fact, the whole thing here about, well, never mind, I won't even go there. They shall be out here, you can have them on public property, which was exact opposite of what the goal was to begin with last October. It says out, you know, in the extraterritorial jurisdiction, They shall be placed near the tree line from the edge of the road. You know what that means? Somebody's going to put a sign out there on Sunny Point's property, which is against the federal law, not just the state law. Need you to take that into consideration. Okay, and then we've got, and then I picked out the knot in there. Glad you cleared that up. Frankly, I am so tired of dealing with this. I don't think anything has ever wasted my time as much as this issue has ever in my entire life, with the exception of being married. So I would say personally, I see that we have four choices. We can approve this exactly as written by the city attorney, not P&Z, not your attorney. We have several recommended changes by the city attorney and by not just me, maybe we've got other ones here on the council that tend to complicate it a little bit more, okay? And we can send that back to P&Z for your input. Or we can just tell you what all our changes are, incorporate all of them tonight, and approve it. Or we can just say, I am so tired of dealing with this. I would like to scrap the whole thing and go back to the original ordinance and forget we ever even talked about portable signs or dates or private or public or anything else. And I promise not to say another word about signs.
Mayor, since I'm the new one, I don't know of a whole lot that is, the language has caused a problem, except for the run-in with a couple of people during the last election. We have a presidential election coming up pretty quick. What I would suggest is that we continue to go along with our language as it exists now, take a close look at what happens during the general election, and come back after the presidential election to see what, if any, problems that we had and try to be able to correct them at that time.
Well, I have a concern with that. We found out we have an ordinance that the building inspector can't enforce because the attorney says that it's illegal. We have to fix that. When we didn't know about it, I didn't care. But once it's brought up, the council now knows that on our books we have something that the building inspector, if he enforces by what we've approved and we would continue to approve, would be in violation of the law. That's wrong.
That happened before I got there. I was.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying that once it comes to our attention, we have a responsibility to fix it, right? I'm okay if it takes a while to fix it. Personally, I think this is a stupid thing, but it's in our ordinance book. We can just say we don't have any political ordinance signs, and I'm fine with that, although I don't think that's what the citizens want, because then someone will quickly decide, hey, I'm going to put a bunch of signs everywhere, and the building inspector can't do anything about it. So we need to give the building inspector the tool to do what the citizens want, which is not have signs all over the place. Because if we don't, there will be someone, either because they have money or because they just want to do it to be contrary, that will put signs all the way down I Avenue and all the way down E Avenue and all the way down K Avenue in the right-of-ways. And when the citizens go to remove them, or the building inspector goes to remove them, they will show up here and tell us, you can't remove my sign, you stole my property, I'm going to file a report with the police department. Not saying we have a lot of citizens like that, but we have more than one. And so, because I happen to know some of them, I might even be one of them. So I think the council should do their job. Now, I'm okay with us figuring it out. P&Z's worked fairly hard. The attorneys are working hard. If we get changes, we should recommend changes and we should fix it. I'm fine with adding runoff election and deleting portable political signs are not permitted and accepting this. The attorney says we're not in violation of the state doing that because we're saying the same thing the state says about political signs. So that's good. It allows the building inspector to do what he needs to do because any sign that pops up on public property, he can take. And when they say to the police department, our building inspector is stealing, they can point to our ordinance, which we believe is legal, and everyone's happy. So, you know, I agree. I'm the one being a pain on this, but we cannot have ordinances that are illegal once we know about it. That's our job. And so, you know, if it takes us a long time, it's a stupid little thing, but it's one of those stupid little things. Sorry. And so, you know, I make a motion that we accept it with the two changes that the mayor, that everyone can see right here. One, we add after the primary, comma, runoff, or election day. And then two, delete portable political signs are not permitted, since we don't know what portable means.
I'll second that.
I was just going to second it. You got it.
Could I clarify that 10 days after the primary, general, or runoff election?
I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. I'll amend my motion to that. Yes, ma'am.
I would just like to clarify, portable signs are defined in your ordinance as a portable sign shall mean any sign which is not securely and permanently attached to the ground or building. So your political signs that you're putting out there are portable political signs.
Well, then we should take it out.
Then you're defeating.
No, because there's two Trump signs right down K Avenue on private property, and I don't think the building inspector should go. But I don't think the building inspector should go take those up, because if they took it up from my house on my property, I'd be pissed because I have First Amendment right.
You're trying to delete portable political signs are not permitted.
Yeah, fine. Right.
Portable meaning a moving, like you see in Wilmington, the people ride around the trucks with.
You just read a definition that says exactly that. It's not permanent. Okay. Right.
I don't want them to have to paint Trump on their house.
Except for the one that Mike Robertson let me put up on his property. There is not a single permanent political sign in this town ever.
Right.
They're all portable. You don't allow them, then that takes care of it, because you don't allow any signs at all in this property, any in the town, anywhere.
Since it's on private property, I don't care if it's portable.
So I'm glad you suggested removing that.
Well, I think the portable thing came into play because of trailer or portable signs on trailers was
unused. Yeah, okay. If it's on private property, I don't care.
They wouldn't meet our dimensions law anyway.
Yeah. Well, flying aircraft with banners.
Or we could put back here, not on roofs, like we used to have.
Yeah.
The building inspector has something before we vote.
After that legislation, the state legislation came out in 2011, we redid that sign ordinance. At the time, Attorney Canoe said that the ordinance that is in effect now is perfectly legal and meets the intent of the law. I have yet to hear the attorney tell us what is against the law now. I've just heard a lot of opinions from everybody else.
Right. Okay.
So, I'd like to hear what about our current ordinance does not meet the law.
We can't prohibit signs, political signs, on the down road, period.
So in the extraterritorial
section,
our current ordinance prohibits political signs.
So does it say that in the state law? I guess that's what I'm trying to understand.
It's 136-32. You read it to us last time you were here.
Yeah, but don't all of us remember what John said last time? Would you read it to us, please, Andy?
All right. I'll read the last section. Actually, you want me to read the whole thing?
Anything that has to do with political signs.
All right. Let's see. B and C. Compliant political signs permitted during the period beginning the 30th day before the beginning date of one stop early voting under GS 163-227.2 and ending on the 10th day after the primary election day. The legislature should have corrected that. Persons may place political signs in the right of way of the state highway system as provided in this section. Signs must be placed in compliance with Section D of this section and must be removed by the end of the period prescribed in this section. C, definition. For the purpose of section, political signs means any sign that advocates for political action. The term does not include a commercial sign. D, Sign placement. The permittee must obtain the permission of any property owner or residence, business, or religious institution fronting the right-of-way where a sign would be erected. Signs must be placed in accordance with the following. One, no sign shall be permitted in the right-of-way of fully controlled